You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Mump and Smoot, the Canadian clown duo who started as a hit fringe festival act 20 years ago and went on to international success, have returned after an eight-year break with a new show. And Laura Lamb took this opportunity to see what all the fuss was about. Laura saw Mump and Smoot in Cracked at the Van East Cultural Center, and she joins me now in the studio to talk about it. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Mordecai.
Tell me a little bit more about Mump and Smoot than just that 20-year gap here.
Well, they're the creation of the performers, Michael Kennard and John Turner, who are Mump and Smoot, respectively. Mump and Smoot live in their own special Mump and Smoot universe or planet called Umo or Amo, and they have a god whose name is also Umo, and they have their own language, which is called Ammonian, which is a kind of a gibberish. And their publicity describes Mump and Smoot as being darkly humorous, ranging from zany to macabre, turning every convention about clowning upside down. And they're also apparently known as the Clowns of Horror.
Now that puzzles me. What is Clown of Horror? How horrible are they? Or not them, but their
well,
personas.
The Mump and Smoot. I thought they are not exactly as advertised, actually. I was a bit worried about the horror, because I don't like horror. There were a few gory bits in the performance, and a little bit of blood, fake blood, I'm sure. I guess I'm getting a little bit picky about their publicity, but they say that they turn the conventions of clowning upside down. But one convention of clowning is known as Grand Guignol. I think I'm pronouncing that in the English way, which is a convention of extreme violence and horror. It's not like they invented this, as Grand Guignol, they're not much. They're not very Grand Guignol-ish compared to what we're used to in the movies, for instance, like Quentin Tarantino, for instance, or even Monty Python. That the part in Holy Grail where the knight has his arms cut off and they gush blood, and then his legs are cut off and he's hopping around on his stump, threatening to bite the other guy. They were nothing as awful as that. So I think their claims are slightly exaggerated.
I've got an ad here from the Georgia Strait for their performance, and when you look at it, they circle a little thing here, draw your attention to it, that it's not for children, and I don't remember that kind of warning on Monty Python. So are they too scary for kids?
Well, I think again that those warnings are kind of a marketing ploy, because it's kind of a reverse psychology. If you think that the kids aren't allowed and it's not for kids, then it's got to be really, really tough, it's got to be really transgressive, really, really hip, so let's go, right? And I think also they need probably to distance themselves from the most common image people have of clowns, which is a circus clown, which is supposed to be perceived as being not of interest to anyone except children. And so clowning, I think, as an art form, has this kind of problem of not being taken seriously, so to speak. But the history of clowning is very ancient, and it was a performance form found in many cultures, including Native American, and apparently the tradition that Mump and Smoot, that kind of a school that they've studied in, has incorporated some of the American Native clowning conventions into their style of clowning. But in Western culture, it extends back to the Greeks. And, of course, it was an entertainment for everybody, not just children. Then it kind of died out, and it survived only as a kind of a vestige, right, in circuses, which especially in America, I guess, have been even further ghettoized as children's entertainment. Circuses were only for kids. And lately has been rediscovered by artists, and I think artists who want us to take clowning seriously, have a kind of an uphill battle overcoming the stigma.
So they're trying to say this is not really for kids in the advertising, but would you take a small child to show them their performance?
Well, I think it might be frightening to, probably it would depend on the kid. Some children would probably be frightened of it, especially if they had expectations about clowns as being those nice people who make balloon animals and paint a rainbow on your cheek and that kind of thing. I think many older children would probably be okay with it. I think maybe we don't want to admit to ourselves, but children often love slapstick. The more violent, the better. And many, even quite young children, would probably find the blood and gore part very funny. But I think the problem might be that us adults would find that a little bit disturbing, the children liking the mayhem. And, speaking for myself, I would be a little bit afraid of taking a young child there and then having them go home and trying this at home, trying stabbing each other or something. Yeah, so probably not taking the kids.
But you said in terms of your own response, it wasn't as horrifying as you thought. Was it funny?
Well, I laughed, but I didn't laugh as much as the rest of the audience. I was in that position of sitting there kind of smiling and watching the rest of the audience in hysterics. You know, even before the show began, the audience was laughing and cheering. And I think, Mump and Smoot could have got up there and read from The Great Gatsby like Andy Kaufman used to do, and they would have still been laughing. You know, they were ready. Clowns, they were funny. They were funny clowns, and I did laugh, and I also cried. I also cried quite a bit more than I was comfortable with.
Okay, well, we'll get to your discomfort in a second. Let's start with your comfort with the laughing. What was so funny about the two clowns?
Well, I don't, it's really hard to pin it down. I left the theater thinking, really profound thoughts like, what is clowning? What is comedy? I mean, they're very grotesque. They're, typical clowns. They're crazy, infantile, absurd kind of creatures that aren't quite human. But something close to human. And although again, their publicity says they turn clowning convention on its head, they are actually quintessential textbook clowns. You can read about clowns, and you're reading about what a clown duo does, and that's exactly what Mump and Smoot do. Mump is kind of an authoritarian, uptight bully who does bully Smoot and bullies the audience, and is all overblown and kind of just uptight. Smoot is kind of infantile and sneaky and anarchic. And one part of their act that I did laugh at quite a bit was the way they use language, this gibberish, this Emonian language. It seems at first to be complete gibberish, but then you recognize there's a few English words in it. And then you start to hear the English coming through just in the cadence, the rhythm, and in the idioms. And that's very funny when some common phrase suddenly appears unnatural. It's suddenly there, but it's foreign. At the same time, you know it exactly. And that gave me a lot of satisfaction, and I laughed at that. then they were very good at improvising when there were missed cues or when the audience did something. And that's funny because they break into they bring you into the fiction, into the fictive world, and you're completely in there, and all of a sudden they smash it, and then they bring it back. I enjoyed that a lot. It's very shocking. And then I don't know. I mean, you know, they're very, very skilled, or maybe it's more than skill, you know, because I think it's becoming a part of actor training to learn clowning. And you know, there a lot of people study it for years, and not very many can achieve that kind of mastery. So maybe it's genius.
Oh, now your confession. What made you cry?
Well, I do tend to cry easily at movies, and you know, you just start the violins and the tear ducts just open. But they're very endearing, actually. You know, I mean, although they're you know, one of them is whining and sniveling, and the other one is a mean bully. At the same time, they're endearing characters. And when things go badly for them, you know, I really felt it, and I think that's another part of their skill.
What could you ask for more than something that made you laugh and cry?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure they're. I'm sure they'd be proud of making me cry, as well as making me laugh.
So, why do you think this type of theater, this, as you explained, historic ancient form, being revived? Why is it worth reviving?
Well, I think it connects you to something essential. It's kind of an essential core of human culture. You know, like I said, it made me start asking those really big questions, like what is comedy, what makes us laugh, what's drama, what even is art? And one of the things that I thought of when I came out, I remembered this book I had read a long time ago, where it said that there were seven cross-culturally they had done studies of joke subjects, and cross-culturally there are seven subjects for all jokes: death, sickness, defecation, sex, religion, misfortune of others, which is a kind of a broad category, and foreigners. So in other words, we laugh only at the things that we shouldn't laugh at. And with Mump and Smoot, I think they covered five out of the seven there. If there was anything about sex in Mump and Smoot, I missed it. I may have been a bit too busy laughing about the language, but and also I don't think they covered the foreigners, but that kind of contradiction, that kind of tension, I think is at the very center of art, and I think forms like clowning draw our awareness back to that center, and I think they're very important for that reason.
And can we actually face the tragedies that exist in life without that humor?
Yeah, the laughter and the crying, is they're both important, and to bring them together and to make them relate, that's an art.
Well, thanks for coming in with this review, and it sounds encouraging, so we'll give a bit of information about the performances. They continue until June 5th, and they're on at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre.